The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do. Like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com. Okay. It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, joined first today by Patrick McDonald. Patrick, good to see you.
What's going on, everyone? Good to see both of you guys as well.
Kyle Porter is here, and KP, the three of us, my fellow blue check marks. It seems that our check marks will be getting less valuable moving forward.
I didn't see us starting here. I was unprepared for that. I was thinking about how many, like Patrick, it looks like has more books than me, but I think I have more actual books than him.
Yeah. Did you just add those this week just for this show?
Yeah. Who would do such a thing? The reason I brought that up, I changed my camera angle here, Rick. It's a little bit higher.
Okay. I like it. I like that.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Because it's easier for me. Because before I had, nobody cares about this at all, but I had two screens and I had it in between. So there was a gap. Ooh. Now it's just above them. So it's better.
I go above as well. It's mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, but you got to go above. Also, the number one rule, if you're trying to set up a home office, the higher the camera, the better. Shoot yourself down yep. and fix, add a little bit of lighting. That's it. Takes like two steps to get like a decent view. Will you pay Kyle $8 to keep your check mark?
Yeah, so I think it's in vogue right now to say that you won't. And I think it's a little bit like if my party doesn't win this election, I'm moving to Canada, that type of deal. Right. You're like, really? Are you? You might. I don't know. I'm sure somebody's done that.
Right. There was more than zero who did.
Right. But probably not. I would pay for it. I will pay for anything that... Like I was telling somebody this the other day, I'm very invested in Twitter as a, I don't even know like what, like as a place of distribution, as a place. I don't know like what the right way to say that is, but anything that makes Twitter hopefully better or more robust for somebody like me, like you almost couldn't charge me too much to pay for any like premium services that they're going to offer.
I already pay for Twitter Blue now, Patrick.
Same.
If they're going to raise it $3 and the thing that's worth it enough for me is bookmark folders. If I don't have bookmark folders, I have nothing. So that alone is worth whatever price of admission. Interested to see how they roll out the verification.
Something like that. How do you use the bookmark folders for?
So a lot of stuff is like stuff I just want to read later. Like if I'm scrolling through and I see something, I add it to read later.
A lot of them are like graphics or ideas, like for my website. Like if I see like a really cool NFL stat profile, I'll like save that so like I can have some like inspiration. I'll put all my memes and GIFs in one folder, and then I have things I want to buy in another one. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm still bumming it. I'm using it for free. And given how my bets have been going, I don't know if I can afford $8 a month at this point. So I don't have the bookmark. I'm a peasant among these three. So I kind of just everything I like. Sometimes, you know, it's actually me liking it, but other times it's just me trying to save it for later.
Yeah. I do that at times as well. I'm not a bookmark user, but I'm definitely going to look into that after Rick's promotion of it there. How do you guys feel about being able to pay for a check mark? I was reading a little bit about it today, and I think it could be valuable. It doesn't make it necessarily better for me, but I think it might make the experience overall better for everyone.
The only thing that matters is how they will verify. If it is literally a transaction of $8 for this check mark or $8 a month for this check mark, it's worthless. If there is actually a process of, you know, the name on this credit card or this credit card could only be used once, or you're actually going to have to send in your identification and you're going to have to display your real name, something like that, I think is very valuable, right? And I do think it does help Elon's case to say this weeds out a lot of the garbage. If everyone on here or everyone or the vast majority of people have been identified to be this real person with a real name who could be held accountable, I like that. But I'm not sure what that process is going to look like.
I think the only question is, how does it affect all these Live fanboys getting up in my mentions?
Yeah. If you created your account in August of 2022 and you only tweet about Live, this might be a tough day for you.
They must have determined how many like real users Twitter had when Musk bought it, right?
Well,
or did that never come out?
However many billions he did, I hope he found out the answer to that question.
I'd love to know how many, since July until now, how many new bots have been on the site.
I'm not smart enough to know the answers to these questions, Rick, but I think one question that I've seen tossed around is, what's keeping, you know, seriously, like what's keeping the Live bots from getting verified and then picking up steam and kind of disseminating information that's questionable at best, you know, like some of the stuff that we've seen. So I don't know. I think that some of that just is, maybe that's just the collateral damage of a social media site or a social media platform. But
yeah,
some of that feels a little bit weird.
I think it's what Rick said, kind of tying back to with your real identity, credit card, whatever it may be, where, I mean, all those Live guys, none of them have their real names on their accounts. So are they still going to be tweeting what they want to tweet if their real names are attached to it now?
It's obviously much bigger than the Live bots as well, as much as I love to see them go away. But right, like there's a lot of other misinformation that's being disseminated across social media. But you're right, like it is because Elon said the checkmark will get you discovered more, right? Like you're going to get preference in replies. You're going to get preference in search. That if you're going to do that, now the verification process does become pretty critical. And if the verification process is just whoever wants to pay $8 a month, it's going to be a world of hurt.
Yeah. And just pulling back to look at the whole picture, the verification process right now it seems like a circus. I don't know. CBS, I think, you know, sold their soul to get their writers verified. I don't know if anybody knows like how that happens. So I am pro more transparency when it comes to the verification process, but I'm with you. I don't want just all these, there needs to be another step, but I don't know if it seems like there will be. Based on what I've read, it seems like it's just pay your money and get your check mark.
I saw a meme where a guy had 5 blue check marks and it said, best $40 I've ever spent. Which I agree with. I think with the speed that they're trying to roll this out, it does not seem like it is going to be a very robust verification process.
If you guys see any like deep dive writing on this by people that know more about it than we do, I do, please send it to me. Cause I'm intrigued by just what people that cover Twitter and social media have to say about it.
We'll definitely do that. And I'll put it in my bookmarks, then I'll send it over to you. And if you guys have an extra $8 a month after getting your account verified, you can get some First Cut merch, because that's 20% off for the rest of the year. If you're watching on YouTube, there it is. Producer Troy has a QR code that you can scan and be taken directly to the storefront. Or if you're listening or if you're watching, you can just click into that description, find yourself the link. But the code you're looking for, First Cut 20% off the rest of the year. Mayakoba, El Chameleon. Patrick, Victor's going for a three-peat. Not one, not two, maybe three. Kyle can weigh in a second because I'm sure he knows the answer. Last three-peat on the PGA Tour.
Come on, man.
Sorry.
Strix. Too easy.
Okay. I believe I have the others. I'm not sure this is a complete list, but I believe I have the other ones as well. Okay. Strix was the easy one. You want to offer up any other three-peats?
I'll be honest. I saw a bunch of tweets about it, so I do know. And I assume Kyle knows as well.
Oh. Well, then this wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be.
I have not seen these tweets, and I don't know.
Okay. Well, there's two others.
Well, hold on. Is one of them the cat?
Like... all of them are the cat, as far as
like five or six times, maybe.
Yeah.
There's one like really weird one, if I remember correctly.
So while you're thinking about the weird one, the cat did it 99, 2000, 2001, that WGC Firestone. Then he did it again, 05, 06, 07. Bay Hill, he went 4 years in a row. Buick, four in a row. Memorial, three in a row. And then the WGC that, what ended up being, I think, the Cadillac 05, 06, 07.
Kyle, the other one is the Tournament of Champions for this guy, I believe.
Oh, I got it now. I would not have gotten that without the hint. Actually, I'm like 90% sure I have it.
Ernie Els?
International, though.
I think it's Ogilvy, isn't it?
Another Aussie.
Oh, I'm confusing my Aussies.
59. Stuart Appleby's Australian, right?
Yeah. Wow. I almost said Robert Allenby, and I was using my Australians there. I wanted to say like it was something Paul Casey at the Valspar. That's not what it obviously is, but that was where my mind went.
Tough to do, obviously. So we are heading to uncharted territory if Victor could pull this off.
Yeah, I mean, and I will say it's supposed to rain. And like I said a few episodes ago, all his wins on the PGA Tour, ball in hand. So it's setting up for a three-peat for old Vic, it looks like.
I'm going to be referencing Normal Sport a lot over the next month, but I was going back through some old stuff for Normal Sport too. And Dan Rappaport, who's at Barstool now, had a tweet about Hovland. I think it was when he won Hero last year. He said he said golf's a resort king, because he's won all his events at resorts. He said golf's a resort king, is from Scandinavia and lives in Oklahoma, if you want to know how weird this sport is. And that's, I mean, is he the favorite this week?
Technically, Scotty Scheffler.
Okay.
Some places might have them as co-favorites, but Scotty and Victor are the top of the board.
Okay.
What's the golf course at Oklahoma State? Carson Creek or Karsten Creek?
Karsten Creek. Karsten was the guy that founded Ping, and that was their connection there.
You know, Ping is in onomatopoeia.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Like Zoom?
Or like Wolf? Is that one?
I'm more of a palindrome person myself. That's like race car.
Like race car. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's where all of the trophies are. If you're ever at Carson Creek, Victor keeps his trophies at the course.
I've been at Carson Creek. I've shot like a 99 at Carson Creek.
Okay. Breaking 100.
It was a generous 99 because every time I've been out there, we play a scramble for like Oklahoma State Media Day. And so we shoot like a 65 or whatever. But if I'd played my own ball, it would have been something around 99. Probably not below that. It's hard.
7:50 a.m. local time off of the 10th tee will be Victor and the no longer Patrick number one player in the world, Scottie Scheffler, whose putting woes have kind of stalled out this great week he's had, or this great year he's had.
Yeah, the new putter he put in the bag did not help him at all at Congaree. He was pretty dreadful on the greens. And we mentioned a few episodes ago, if he's positive on the greens, he's right there in the mix on Sunday. I think third at the BMW and runners up there at the Charles Schwab and U.S. Open have been his only positive performances, since May, which is kind of crazy to think. And weirdly enough, he can get back to world number one with a win or a solo second this week. I don't know if that's on his mind at all. He seems pretty good about kind of not really thinking about that type of stuff when he's playing golf. So ball striking wise, tee to green wise, he's still, an amazing player. He has good history here. Just going to come down to the putter, but I feel like we say that every week about kind of all these top golfers. You know, whoever putts the best is probably going to win.
Is there a chance Scottie Scheffler never becomes the number one player in the world again?
For sure. I mean, if you look at the history of number one players, most of them are only a 1 to 3 year run, and some of them, I think Tom Lehman was number one for like 1 week or 2 weeks, something absurd like that. And it's just so hard to do, which highlights it doesn't highlight those guys. It actually highlights Tiger and Norman and Rory, who have done it, 10 years apart, all three of them, at least. The next closest, I think, is DJ, who was 3.5 years apart. He became number one in 2017-ish, and his last number one, or his last appearance at number one, is 2020. So, yeah, I think there's a possibility that Scottie Scheffler is never the number one player in the world again, which sounds ridiculous for me to say right now because he's the number two player in the world. But, once you drop past 5, 6, 7, 10, it just gets, it's so hard to get back up there.
Making his season debut, the hunky Tony Finau, Patrick, who we saw last at the President's Cup. His stretch of golf towards the end of last year included back-to-back victories at the 3M Open and the Rocket Mortgage. He had a great run into the playoffs, T5 in Memphis. See if he can continue that momentum this week in Mayakoba.
The honky one, the TikTok star alongside his wife, some pretty good content there. But I wanted to ask you guys about Tony Finau after kind of shedding that moniker that he couldn't, close a deal. He's won three times in less than a year, last season. What are your expectations for him this year? Like, what are you expecting for him?
I think he's going to have a huge year. Right.
What's a huge year for him, though?
He will win twice and have a bunch of top tens.
Okay, so it's like a superstar year.
Yeah, it's hard to win once, let alone twice. But I think that there was like 5 years where win luck did not go in his favor. He rattles off a couple in a row. Now you do, as Patrick mentions, you shed this idea that you don't win enough. He is a very high upside golfer. From tee to green, he's one of the best in the world, and he's fixed the putter. I think he has a massive year, and massive in this era is like two wins.
Yeah, I think he... Here's my baseline. I think he wins once, at least once. I think he's in a major on a Saturday or Sunday, like kind of in it, like one of the guys. And he's on the Ryder Cup team. Like that's sort of my expectation for him in 2023, which I think based on his historical, his last 5 years is not, that's not too high. I mean, that's what Tony Finau should expect of himself, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Finau got a couple of wins there, Patrick. Xander got a couple of wins. Who's the new guy that now needs to win? Does one exist anymore?
Maverick McNeely, I guess. Morikawa is kind of the one who's going through the biggest drought, I guess you could say.
Yeah, God forbid he goes 11 months without a major championship.
I know. He has to be reeling at this point.
Go ahead,
Rick. I'm just looking through the OWGR. I mean, like Zalatoris would have been on that list, but he just won a playoff event, right? I mean, I feel like a lot of the guys who needed to cashed in.
Maybe like Spieth, like to win a big event type of deal, a memorial or something.
Yeah, that's a good call. I think Zalatoris is not a bad answer just because he's only won once. I know he's not been out there forever, but he's not 20. People think Will Zalatoris is like 22 years old. He's not. He's in that Scheffler age range. The two that I'm looking at, and this is unfair to one of them because he actually wins a lot, but I think Hovland needs to win like a Bay Hill, a Riviera, a Memorial, something like that. He's won a lot. He's won a lot of OWGR events, and his winning percentage is super impressive, but he doesn't have that. He doesn't have like a signature win, which is, you know, and you would have said the same thing about it. It's weird because the next guy that I want to talk about, Tommy Fleetwood, who needs to win on the PGA Tour, he doesn't have any wins. And so it's hard to put them in the same category. They're kind of in different categories. Tommy needs to win anything. And Hovland, I think the next step for him is winning a memorial like Patrick was talking about. But those are two guys that stand out a little bit for me when I'm just looking at this top 25.
That makes sense. It's really hard to make a case for really anybody else here, because then you start to get down to guys that you're like, well, it would be hard to say that like Sepp Straka needs a win or whatever. Like, it's just it gets harder. So that those are the only two reasonable ones. Zalator is fine. But yeah, we don't really have those poster boys for guys needing to win anymore.
What about,
you know, who needs to get a win?
Go ahead.
The Niblicks need to get a win.
Well, they made a blockbuster trade.
So we're going to talk about it.
They won today.
They're not going to sit on their hands. They're not going to sit on their hands during this offseason. They're going to go out and try to make something happen. And they got champ Taylor Gooch, right? And Bubba's going to be returning from injury. In return, the four aces got Peter Uihlein. Is that right?
Peter Uihlein.
In return. Peter Uihlein was on who? Smash, Patrick?
Smash. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, with Brooks
or something. Yeah. So a little bit of movement. And also, it seems like Bubba's going to change his team name. So is Bubba the Niblicks guy?
Yeah, he is.
Well, I don't think they're going to be Niblicks any longer. So that might have been a 1 year. If you got your Niblicks swag, Kyle, it might be worth some money in a couple of years.
It'll be vintage.
I didn't. I think a lot of the team names are going to change, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Although they've kind of become ironic and funny in a way. But all joking aside, it's dumb. It's so easy to make fun of because you're like, oh, the Niblicks got Taylor Gooch. Like, it's an absurd sentence, right? But if you had all the top guys actually moving around in an off season, I don't know.
I'd see a draft every week. I would settle for a draft every year. Just return the rosters to zero and redraft.
Yeah, I actually like the continuity year over year, but I would be up for trades, for releasing guys, for free agency, all that stuff. I'm an idiot here, but I'm kind of in on that. It's silly and not that interesting with Liv because the players in it are kind of silly and not that interesting. But if you had all these top guys that I'm looking at on the OWGR page, I'm way in. Sign me up.
Is there any insight, Patrick, into how this works? Because the articles that I read made it seem like Dustin Johnson allowed Taylor Gooch to go to the Niblicks or whatever? Like, what's the process for these movements?
I honestly have no idea. I do know, like, players are, like, moved out of Liv. Like, Lori Cantor, I guess, didn't play himself into Liv next year. They were talking about it, like, in their post-win, whatever team he was on. He might have been... He was with Richard Blander, whatever that team is. Cleeks, yeah.
Magic Sticks?
The Cleeks.
No.
And he beat Patrick Reed in his semifinals. Yeah. Lori Cantor getting the...
He kind of lit him up.
So I'm guessing, like, James Pyatt didn't qualify for next season as well, so they had an opening. Hmm. And, I mean, I don't know how... Maybe Taylor Gooch had enough of, you know, Justine, Pat Perez's wives, whatever it may be. There's a lot going on that team.
Yeah, you just won like 4 out of the 8 events and Taylor Gooch is headed somewhere else.
They're undefeated on U.S. soil. I mean, not enough people are talking about it.
I think they won 5 events.
5
or just 4.
I don't know.
I think 5 now.
There would be a lot to deal with in that locker room, the 4 aces locker room. My guy Joseph Lamagna, who you guys probably follow him on Twitter, but he called him the 3 aces because it was Gooch, DJ, and Reed, and then Pat Perez just irrelevant. So he started calling him the 3 aces, which I thought was so good.
Speaking of guys who. I don't think, I mean, does Pat Perez get his spot back on the 4 aces, apparently?
I guess, yeah.
I mean, so much of this depends on who they sign, right? If they sign, I'm just picking names off the OWGR page. They sign Tom Kim, Billy Horschel, Zalatoris, JT, and Morikawa. I'm guessing Pat Perez not with the 4 aces next year. But if they don't sign anybody, then he... probably is. I don't know. This is all being made up as we go.
Yeah,
it does feel that way. Pat Perez had 6 starts last year. His how many finishes do you think he had inside the top 30?
One. Boston.
Oh. Yep. Boston. Wow, you are a true 4 aces fan.
We got to cover it. You know, I cover it fairly.
One, his best finish was 16th. His only finish inside the top 30. Remember, these are 48 player fields. So
then he's just trying to spike the football on everybody when he shoots 70 at Doral.
God,
okay,
tough scene. One round 70. Tough scene.
He's like the tight end in the Super Bowl who had 3 catches on the year and he caught 2 touchdowns in the Super Bowl. He's like, I'm the man. Franchise tag me.
Anything else Liv or Mayakoba related before we get to our bets for the week?
I forgot we were talking about Mayakoba. I mean, the Liv stuff is we didn't talk about it. Did we talk about it on Sunday? I don't even remember.
I think we're going to have to do we're going to have some time coming up where we're going to need to be able to look like there's so many. I have a list. There's so many things that we need like 45 minutes on each of them it's hard to accurately cover everything at the end of like a Sunday recap show.
Well, I think one thing that stood out for me as the season progressed is, and I was part of this, so I'm copping to that, but it became so easy to dunk on Liv in every way possible. And that's fun to do. And sometimes you feel like you have a moral imperative to do so. But I think that they did some, if you just look at organizationally, they did some good stuff. They made some good progress. If you looked back in January and said, okay, this thing doesn't even exist to where they are now, it's not the best they could have done, but it's not bad, right?
Right. I agree with you. The counter argument would be for $1 billion, I hope so. Right? That's the
counter. Yeah. What do you think, Patrick? The $1 billion thing, does that...
I agree with what you said. I mean, I think a lot of people just forget it's only been 8 events that these guys have put together. And I think all things considered, outside of the $1 billion, just looking at the golf and the product, I think they have a lot to kind of hang their hat on and be proud of. But knowing that they spent, what, like 785 was the report, 785 mm-hmm. million this year, $1 billion next year. My thing for them is, I think they're so focused on creating a product that's for like TV and YouTube that, it's almost like too confusing for the people on the actual grounds. Like, you know, I heard from a few people there that, you know, some people didn't even know what the score was. The last two holes of the team championship, they didn't know Dustin Johnson's putt was to win it all. And yeah, it's great on TV. And I understand their business model is supposedly the franchise route where they want people to invest in these franchises and buy them. But eventually they're going to have to, you know, that might not work, honestly. And they might have to find different revenue streams or else they could go under and the PIF could be like, see you later, we're done with this, let's try a different sport or something else.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because I've been convinced, and maybe I'm the mark here, but I've been convinced this year that the sports washing thing, while it could be a tenet of what they're trying to do, it's not, I don't think it's central to Golf Saudi or Live or anything like that. I think central to Golf Saudi and Live is making this work. And whether that means destroying the PGA Tour, overthrowing the OWGR, or just creating an alternate league that takes advantage of the team aspect, I don't know which one of those they're sort of focused on. Maybe it's all of them. But I do think they're intent on creating a league that makes a bunch of money and is successful. I've become very unconvinced that they're just throwing away money to launder. And I was one of the people that claimed this, but to launder their country's reputation. Maybe that's part of like the overall PIF strategy, but I don't think it's central or specific to Live. I really don't. And so I think what happens this off season, I mean, if you just stay like this, like if you just stay where you're at right now, they're funded through, what did the New Yorker thing say, Rick? 2025?
Yeah.
I think it was 2025. I don't think it's viable in 2027, right? If you're looking from a business standpoint. Now, do they get momentum this offseason? Do they sign Peters and Cantlay and some of these guys whose names have been thrown out there? Because if so, then you start building on what you did in 2022, and then you're like, oh, okay. I mean, like this could happen. Like it at least has a chance. So I'm fascinated by this offseason, because I think in some ways it's even more important to Liv's future than the entirety of 2022 was.
The idea of the offseason, I think they'll make a lot of changes. I think we might see them play 72 holes coming up. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of changes that are probably better for the product. However, it doesn't matter if the roster stays the same way. It literally doesn't matter. Like, they are going to have to constantly improve the roster. You can't get to 2025 with Stenson and Casey and Pat Perez and Graham McDowell and what
Sergio.
Like, you just can't, right? Like, yeah. The same issue the European Ryder Cup team had, where these guys were on their last legs. Like, now we're going five more years with, like, you just can't. So unless they're adding people that anybody cares about or guys that play better golf, it doesn't matter what they do this offseason.
Yeah. And it's weird because they picked such a niche sport. Yeah. That they're trying to sort of upend and get people jacked up about. And like part of the reason PGA Tour is successful is because people are just set in their ways and they just turn on PGA Tour golf. Right. And like, that's
it's
just
like a routine, like a weekend, but just throw it on.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's the best type of industry to try and disrupt. Now, maybe like we said this on Sunday, where's the revenue? Where's it coming from? Like, what's it going to be? And Patrick, I'll throw it over to you, because I said this on earlier. The one of their saving graces could be just a couple billionaires that are like, well, we'd love to buy a team and hang out with Brooks Koepka and Phil Mickelson, which doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me.
You don't need to play golf to do that. You can just pay to those guys to hang out with them if you're a billionaire.
yeah. It's like... But it's a vanity thing. You would own the team that Phil Mickelson plays on. It's a one of one thing. You can't buy that anywhere. You can't buy the Dallas Cowboys anywhere else, right?
For sure. Yes.
Yeah, it's the cheap way of owning a sports team without having to go through, you know, lenders and whatnot. You could probably do it out of your own pocket if you're rich enough, who Saudi's probably trying to attract. But I know you said you're interested next season. I'm interested for kind of the third season, because what's going to happen when they're done signing players? Like, they need to figure it out beyond that.
They can't be. They can't be done. That's the problem. Yeah. This whole thing is they can never be done, because they're not going to be able to grow their own, at least in the not in the next 5 or 10 years, they're not going to be able to grow their own stars. If they do $200 million into the Asian tour and grow their own stars that way, fine. But that's the problem. You can't be done.
Yeah, they need to like get a bunch of like Eugenio Chikaras and have them qualify for the US Open to add relevance to themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much.
For sure. A live guy needs to like win a major championship.
Yeah.
Well, there's a live guy that won the last major championship.
Yeah. But there's 4 more coming next year and 4 more the year after that.
Yeah. I know. I don't know how they, I mean, this is where the OWGR, we've talked about this for 6 months now. It's where the OWGR thing comes back into play of how do you even get your guy, not your stars, but your Eugenio Chikaras into the major championships. Like the only way they can get in is by qualifying, you know, for the US Open or Open Championship. So that's a problem. They've just got a lot of, I mean, it's funny because, you know, everybody was like, well, if you didn't take the money up front, you'll probably get less later on. I almost feel like Cantlay and Xander and whoever could go to them now and be like, we want $600 million. And they would have to do it, right? Cause they can't lose momentum. They're kind of in this weird purgatory place where they've done a lot, but they haven't done enough to kind of turn the tide.
Here's the problem. Okay. Dustin Johnson was obviously the number one player in terms of everything, but in terms of how much he made this last year, any idea who 2 and 3 were?
Ask the question again. Patrick probably knows all the stats
on Liv. So DJ was obviously number one. He made like $35 million. He was the most successful. Yeah. Successful golfer 2, successful golfer 3.
I think one was Uline.
Number 3.
Brandon Grace.
Number 2. There's your problem.
Kyle, right? Let's because go.
Peter Uline, your third most successful player in your league, is ranked 343rd in the world and will not participate in any major championships. That can't be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the problem is kind of creating their own relevance, but they also have to buy it from the PGA Tour and the major championships.
Right.
And you can't kind of split the hairs on that yet. They got to figure that out.
You know what pisses me off is you've got all these live fools running around on Twitter who are rooting for a league, which is just the height of vapidness. Like, you're rooting for a league. It's like the Rob Lowe NFL hat thing. Like, what are you doing? And they're all touting, oh, well, Cam Smith's the best player in the world. It's like, bro, he might be. You didn't even know who Cam Smith was a year ago. You're just propping him up as like your proof that Liv is awesome. And Cam Smith, as anybody who follows golf knows, they come and go. And I don't mean that. Cam Smith's a phenomenal player. He hammered Rory at the Open. He was unbelievable in 2022, but you have these, I mean, it's the Jason Day thing where you have 2 years as a top 3 player in the world and you can't maintain that level unless you're an all-time great for that long. And so I feel like people live fans are just going to prop up Cam Smith as the best player in the world for the next like 15 years if they don't get OWGR points. And you're like, I'm not sure about that. Like, I don't think that's how it works. But that has been just irking me recently, because it's Cam Smith's fine. He's really good. But just stop using him to try to prove your point about this league that you love.
Not that I mean, this is probably an off-season conversation, but when you look at the bottom of this earnings list, dead last is Shergo Alcurdy, who I believe played one event and got smoked by DJ there at the end in the championship. Cameron Tringale, second worst. Hudson Swafford, third worst. They made less in payouts on LIV than they have in like the last couple of years on the PGA Tour. Now, obviously they had upfront money, but that right there is like, it's a little bit of evidence that like when you're paid upfront and given a contract, what is there to play for? These guys were successful PGA Tour players.
How much did Swofford make?
$1.24 million.
Okay. That's probably just like a little more than his American Express win.
Tringali made 1.1. Last year on PGA Tour, he made 3. The year before that, he made 2.5. And he's made at least $1 million basically every year of his career.
Yeah.
Hey, producer Troy, will you pull up this most recent comment from Antonio Esparza? Okay, so he was responding to my live thing, and he said, okay, but nobody cares about Rory winning the CJ Cup. It's this, I don't know what he's referencing. It's the same thing. But do you know, Rick?
I was with him until he said it's the same thing.
I'll take a crack. It's probably limited field, no cut, guaranteed payday type of deal.
Okay. Well, I think one thing that's been interesting is the live boys who rep the league again. Imagine watching the Phillies and Astros tonight and being like, you know who I'm rooting for? Major League Baseball. Like that's who I want to win. it's ridiculous. But a lot of live fans or whatever have been trying to compare these like live Miami to the Sanderson Farms or to the Shriners, and you're like, yeah, this is the worst events on the PGA Tour. Like, if that's your comp, then congratulations, you beat out the. And not that this actually happened, but if the viewership was higher on LIV, it's like, oh, congrats, like you beat the Shriners. You know, like is that something you want to, you know, put on your LinkedIn profile if you're Greg Norman? We had a higher viewership than the Shriners. I don't know. The whole thing is like, let's just let it be. Let's let it play out. We don't have to go to war over like viewership numbers in October of the first year of this league.
But we are. So that's fun. But I agree with you. I would be much more interested in the discourse around LIV if it was just like, yeah, we're building something. Check in with us in 12 months or whatever.
Totally.
The broadcast too, like of them. I know they have their marching orders, but Jesus, like just shut up about how good LIV golf is for like 5 minutes. Like, please. The best part was Phil analyzing Cam Smith's putting. The entire season. That was the best part of any broadcast.
I'm going to miss Phil's opportunity to be a broadcaster. He would have been unreal.
He would have. All right. We'll talk a lot more about LIV in the coming weeks. We have to give out our wagers, which I know Patrick is most looking forward to. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And we're back. Here we go. Little First Cut Moneymaker Challenge. This is where we go over to Caesar Sportsbook. We put $50 on a matchup. We put $30 on any finishing position that we want. Two $10 outrights, and we keep track of everything. Producer Troy, show us the standings. There they are. If you're watching on YouTube, you are seeing the standings. They aren't always pretty, but they are transparent.
Yeah, and if you're listening on podcasts, I'm at the top.
The top of what?
The top of the bottom.
You're in the middle of the spreadsheet, so you're not in the. There's no scenario in which you're at the top.
It's been a rough go for Patrick, but we can right that ship. Kyle's trending in the right direction, and I'm a winner. So we'll figure it out. We're doing all right. We're hanging in there.
We finally got Crooked Coach out of here with his red numbers. He wasn't going to improve because he's doing like 9 NFL shows until January. But I think our goal should be to get to black by what, Thanksgiving? Can we do that? I guess we have to do that because that's the end of the tour season.
When is Thanksgiving? The fourth Thursday of the month?
We got Houston and RSM after this, I think. Right?
I'm going to the RSM.
Oh,
okay.
Sea Island Mafia.
I've never been there.
Vacation or work? Both.
Both. It's all okay. One same at this point.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Let's do our matchups. $50, any matchup that we want. And Patrick, we're going to start with you because you're going to get off the schneid right now and you are going to find a winner. So your matchup wager is what, please?
I'm betting on Joel Damon -120 over Harris English. Joel Damon, one of the most accurate drivers on the PGA Tour. For those of you who have watched this golf tournament, mangroves, if you go, you know, a little astray off the fairway, Harris English has been struggling a bit off the tee. I think he is 100% healthy, but his good starts this year have kind of been short game reliant. Damon's 5 for 5 making the cut here, 3 top 25 finishes. I know English has a good history here as well, especially the last 2 years and his win, but I like the state of Damon's game a bit more. So I will be betting him -120 over Mr. English.
Joel Damon, the king of Paspalum.
You said it, not me.
There you go. Max Homa had his baby and named it Cam.
Fit right in.
In 20 years, the entire PGA Tour will be named Cam.
Wow.
There you go.
Cam Champ. Cam Smith.
Yeah. Max Homa's baby to live.
Cam Homa. Yeah, rumors, I saw that.
Rumors are strong.
That was good.
KP, you are going up against friend of the pod, Sepp Straka here. What's your matchup?
Yeah, I've got Lee Hodges, who I always think is Craig Hodges from the 90s Bulls teams. He is in a matchup over Sepp Straka. Lee Hodges has been hitting the ball great. He's got a couple of, I think he finished, I don't have it in front of me, I want to say top 10 last week at the Bermuda event.
Well, it's T7.
T7, there you go. And yeah, it's a little bit of a fade of Sepp Straka. He's been kind of putting lights out recently, but it's mostly just betting on Hodges continuing to ball strike it well.
He's gained strokes in the ball striking categories in 5 straight, some of them pretty significantly, coming off the T7 at Congaree. Lee Hodges, he wears the Vineyard Vines.
Okay.
Can you name another golfer who is also wearing Vineyard Vines?
JT Poston.
The Postman.
Oh, that was not the one I was thinking of, but yes, that is correct.
Hudson Swafford.
I don't know that to be true. I think he's wearing
Harris English.
Off Saudi.
Harris English is Peter Millar.
Yeah, it's Millar. No. Who is it?
Matthew Neesmith.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought of that.
I'm going to take a page out of Kyle's book and go with the man, the myth, the legend, Tom Hoagie, this time over Taylor Montgomery. Nothing really against Taylor Montgomery outside the fact that he's basically putting as good as two times Denny McCarthy. But, you know, it's getting the job done. Hoagie is just phenomenal, KP. You've been keeping us in tabs on this. He's a great wedge player. They're going to hit a lot of wedges this week. Hoagie's that dude.
Yeah, I mean, he at this point is I mean, we've talked about this a bunch, but he's a potential Ryder Cupper, and he is not, he's certainly got not getting recognized by just the casual golf fan like that. And I think he's still being a little undervalued by bookmakers. Not a ton, but a little bit. I mean, Taylor Montgomery's been playing pretty good golf, but I'm still, yeah, as we'll see in a little bit, I'm still riding with my boy, the sandwich, Tom Hoagie.
Hoagie over Montgomery, Damon over English, Hodges over Straka, the three matchups. I'll start with our finishing positions. We all took a top 20. I'm going Hayden Buckley, plus 280. He drives it great, Patrick. He's figuring it out. He's putting up top 20 finishes kind of all over the yard. Big believer in his game.
Yeah, I like that play a lot. I almost looked at him, I think 80-1 for this one, but decided not to pull the trigger for our purposes. I'm going with Russell Henley. He cannot putt to save his life, but hopefully that will not matter too much. Hopefully his ball striking can carry him onto the first or second page of the leaderboard. Doesn't have a great history here. But he gained each tee to green aspect at Congaree. Pretty good fit, I'd like to think. You think about him at Sedgefield or Wailea, kind of shorter courses where you need to put the ball in the fairway. So top 20, Russ Henley, plus 230.
The grass nerds will tell you that Pass Palom is better to putt on if you're a poor putter, because it's a wider blade of grass, usually runs a little bit slower, usually can get away with it.
Interesting. Is it less grainy than Bermuda, correct? And breaks a little less? Or did I make that up?
I've emptied the clip on my past Palom knowledge. So,
all right, yeah. That's on me. Bad question.
For those questions to someone more knowledgeable. KP, your top 20. Ooh, a little University of Illinois product.
Yeah, I love Nick Hardy. He's been hitting his irons really well. And I kind of liked the number at plus 280. So I had him, I think it was last week, I had him as one of my outrights to win. He didn't, obviously, but I do like him in an even stronger field, obviously, this week at Mayakoba.
Wasn't bad. He finished T23 last week. So he's gone fifth, 44th, T23 in his last three starts. He's playing well. He has a couple of good Korn Ferry Tour finishes at the end of last year when they went to the playoffs as well. So that's Buckley, Henley, Hardy, all to finish inside the top 20. Outrights, KP, you get to go first, and you have focused your attention at the top of the betting board.
Yep. Two guys that we've already talked about, maybe the only two guys that we talked about. Hovland, obviously, it's not great value at 10-1, but he's been so good here. And then Finau, who I believe is the best player in the field over his last 20 rounds in terms of total strokes gain. So Finau, not only has he been hitting it great, but he's just been all around awesome. Again, that those 20 rounds are from a while ago, because as you said, he's making his season debut, but I am banking on the momentum continuing into the 2022-2023 season.
10-1 for Victor, 14-1 for Tony Finau. I'll go next because I also have Victor on my cart. I'm obviously going to be a part of this three-peat. And then Brendan Todd, who's won this event before, the Todd father, going back for more. Talk about accuracy off the tee. He's got that. Talk about ability to pop with the irons. He's got that. Talk about the ability to putt. Yeah, 12 in a row. One of the best putters on the PGA Tour, Brendan Todd, 45-1. Patrick, your two outrights. Ooh, interesting.
You know who does not have the ability to putt? Colin Morikawa, 16-1. First start here, but third in driving accuracy at Congaree, seventh in approach. And this course has had a way of hiding kind of, you know, guys who have struggled in the short game department. So that's kind of his weakness. And I don't know if he's like trending, but maybe bubbling, you know, on the brink of boiling, simmering, I guess, since the start of the FedEx Cup playoffs. So iron play has been really good for the past couple of months. I'm hoping, you know, praying to God he can make a few putts this week. And then Matt Kuchar, another past champion. His was memorable for a couple of reasons. Obviously, a shout out El Toucan, 2018, 60-1, had a great start to his year, 12th in Napa, 29th at Congaree. Tee to green, he's been really good. I don't know which arm he's anchoring his putter to these days, but hopefully it's the correct one this week, and he can make a few putts for me at 60-1.
Just any limb that he can find to attach that putter to will be able to do the trick. So that is Victor times two, Brendan Todd, Tony Finau, Colin Morikawa, Matt Kuchar as the outrights. Gentlemen, one final thing to do, that is to play our money ball. That's where we put $50 on literally anything on the board. We're going to do that. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we're back. Moneyball time. $50 anywhere in the whole world you want to go. There's the standings. I'm up 12.9%. We'll get the rest of it figured out. KP, you alluded to this. You are going back to Tom Hoagie. How so?
The Hoagie well. Hoagie's well. finishing the top 20 plus 130. He pulled it off at CJ Cup. Didn't do it at, I think I had him at Zozo also, but he's just, I mean, I don't have his numbers in front of me, but the thing that really has compelled me the most is not just his overall strokes gained and his high finishes, but the iron play has been so, so good. He's a really, really good iron player, and he's playing at the top of that, kind of at his ceiling right now in terms of his iron play.
Top 24, Tom Hoagie. He has done that in each of his last five starts, going back to the Tour Championship, where he had to work his way up from, I don't know, was he, T24, T25, something like that.
He was top 20 at Zozo?
He was top 10 at Zozo. T9.
Okay. So right now, his iron play is... So the rolling 50-round average on Data Golf, he's playing like a top 10 iron player in the world.
I believe it. He's great.
Which is kind of, it's almost a stroke gain per round, which is pretty much his ceiling throughout, like, of his career. He's never really been, I mean, he's been good, but this is about as high as he's ever been.
Top 20 will pay out plus 130 if Hoagie can finish on the first two pages of the leaderboard. Patrick, you argued that Colin Morikawa was simmering, that he was seemingly ready to blow, and you have put your money where your mouth is, a top five finish for him.
4-1. So I didn't love the idea of him potentially winning and me only cashing $160 in this. So you know, over in Europe, they have the each way. Mm-hmm. I could call it an insurance policy, whatever you want to call it. Top five. I love Colin Morikawa this week. This gives me a bit of breathing room. And at 4-1, yeah, that's my money ball.
I have opted to stick with my top 40s, which have been very good for me. And in this case, I'm going with Justin Lauer. Just very solid, continues to pile up great finishes, gained strokes every round last week. Even money for him to finish inside of the top 40. That is my money ball. Justin Lauer, top 40. Colin Morikawa, top five finish. Tom Hoagie, top 20. Gentlemen. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
I got two quick things. One, Elon tweeted maybe while we were on this podcast that in addition to the verification or the check, whatever, the thing we were talking about earlier, there'll be a secondary tag below the name for someone who's a public figure. which is already the case for politicians.
So will it say, so it'll say Kyle Porter check mark, and then underneath it'll say author of Normal Sport.
Hot take Smith.
I think it's what it is. Do you get to create your own sub?
I don't know. That would be sick if you did.
It's going to be really hard to figure out who the hell I am when they
get. That doesn't answer your question about will there be multiple layers to verification, but it does provide some context to the checkmark thing.
I would be okay if it said, this is a blue checkmark that has always existed, and this is like a red checkmark, which is like this was bought, or this was like through our old this was our vintage authentication process, or this is our modern authentication process.
I like that. Yeah. I like different colors. I think you're onto something there, Rick.
I like that too.
I'm available, bud. Come on.
Yeah.
And I do think the intent, well, I don't know what the intent is, but the idea of weeding out spam and bots is great. Whatever, whatever I have to pay to do that, I spend so much time on there that I'm way in.
I agree. In theory sounds great. Let's see it in practice. What was your other item?
Phillies or Astros? Who you got tonight?
Phillies. Come on. They're going to be buzzing at Citizens Bank Park.
For the sake of my good friend Rick, I'm going to say the Astros to fade myself, given how cold I've been.
Now we're cooking.
I like that. Is Tom Kim starting for the Astros tonight? You could double fade it.
Yeah, I think he'd make like a good second baseman. I think that's where I put him. Maybe catcher. Tom Kim, he's pretty thick.
Yeah, I could see him being like one of those like seventh inning guys that throws like 98. Which, by the way, everybody, I don't watch a ton of baseball. I used to play and I was way into it, but I just don't have time for it anymore. Everybody throws 99.
Dude, I saw this from the left side too. I saw there when I was like following it intently, there was like one guy who could throw 95 from the left side. It was like Aroldis Chapman. Now all of them do.
It's off speed's like 93. And it's like, that's a fastball. Sick movement now.
Outrageous. I mean, when we were growing up playing, Rick, it was like, I mean, if you threw 100, unless you were just derailed your career, you were going to make it to the majors.
Yeah.
And now
they're like, we can teach them control.
Yeah. And now it's the status quo. I mean, it's like, oh, cool. You throw 100. So does everybody else.
Yeah. You think golf has a distance and a speed problem? Baseball. Yeah,
that's true. Okay. I'm excited to watch it tonight. Should be fun.
All right. We'll be back on Sunday to discuss all the inner workings of the Mayakoba Championship and anything else that happens between now and then. Big thanks, producer Troy, does all the hard work behind the scenes. Patrick McDonald in his study at Amateur Status. Kyle Porter with a new camera angle at Kyle Porter CBS. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.